citizen of Alaska. And so that goes to help, some of that goes to help roads. So even though it appears that their federal dollar spent is less, they have other sources of revenue that augment that. So I don't know that it's really important whether we're last or second to last. It's important that we're not at least in the middle of the pack or above. And of course, it costs lives, it costs economic opportunity, it costs a whole bunch of stuff that I don't understand why we can't solve.
So maybe we do project that around 2028 we're going to run out of money to take care of the system, that inflation will cut up with us and we will not have enough to take care of everything at the current level. We'll have to let stuff deteriorate more.
Now, there is some good news here in that MoDOT has been able to maintain the major roads at a 98%, which is it good and excellent? Is that the top two, or is it just good as the top and it goes down? We can be down to 95% and still be in that category and have pretty good roads. But that is in the mix.
But we're already planning we're going to lengthen the resourcing cycles in the major routes, so you probably will see more of a 92 to 95 range. And that's to help with the fact that our bridge conditions have skyrocketed, the poor condition bridges have skyrocketed.
The major lakes, the flood system was built in the 50s, and guess what else? So was Interstate 44 and 70 and everybody else. So all these bridges are all a mess at the same time. We've talked about that. That's the perfect storm. So the turn lane on Highway 86 or even the intersection at Lakeshore Drive ranks in there, but it's a situation of a matter of scale here. We have a lot going on. And talking to this group is all interesting, but if we all voted yes, it wouldn't make any difference. We've got to figure out a way to get the larger group of people in Missouri to say transportation, particularly rubber tire transportation, is important. We have the same corollary in air service. We're terrible. Barge traffic, we're kind of in the middle of the road, if that makes any difference, but our transportation stuff is broke. Rail, you know the rail story. It's terrible. And we are a key player in the middle of the nation, and we are not doing it.
The rail story is almost zero. There's some benefit with the charcoal plant, the world's largest charcoal plant, moving cars in and out. But besides that, opportunity factor is tremendous. And everybody around us is being able to capture the business. I don't know how. We need to be more persistent, I guess. But the rail side, we have some plans on the drawing board of some things. And one of them I'll talk about when we get to the new business, an update on the transload facility that we've been talking about, south of Hollister, out towards the airport, somewhere between South Hollister and airport, but there's some opportunities there. But it just takes a lot of staying persistent after it.
So I guess given the picture, whether it's me telling you or anybody else in this room that deals with it every day telling you, it's not bright. But unless we go out to the larger group, it's not going to get any brighter. And Missouri seems to go through this every once in a while where we wait till it almost collapses and then we actually do something. I think we have a governor that's willing to do something right now, but I don't think that the $350 million bond is going to be a drop in the bucket. It's just the situation is longer term, and in magnitude of scale, we've let it get past a point. So that's kind of the bigger picture. Megan has everybody going out and not only doing this little priority thing, but there's another list out there about what happens when we have no money, and including the discussion of do we really need to do the Long Creek Bridge, or can it just be closed for an extended period of time and put rubber bands on the girders. Well, when they're getting down to projects like that, being in question of can we kick that can down the road farther, that's a real telling thing of how bad this really is. And that was like, if we could do that, you might be able to have new surfaces on your roads, or you could have some minor bridges fixed or some things like that. But this is not good, kids. We really need to come
this year. Additionally, from the disaster standpoint, the flooding is going to be another burden that is going to have to require federal funding on that, because it's shaping up to be a disaster here, right here in our own backyard.
And federal funding is in a situation where they have been borrowing. The Highway Trust Fund does not cover the expense of all of this federal money we're getting in, so they've been taking out of their version of general revenue to augment that, and the current administration said, we're done borrowing Peter to pay Paul. If you want transportation, let's pay for transportation. If you don't, let's pay for the things that you think you're paying for. So all of that picture is the underpinning of what we're going for here. And as all of us speak with, whether it's district constituents or, in my case, people that are concerned about safety things they see and impending things that have to be repaired, and they're asking about that, it makes me feel like I don't want to do the job. And that's farthest from the truth. We all want this fixed. But there are no resources. So we have to just keep that in the back of our minds when we're talking about this stuff. And when everybody gets sick of it enough, then the voters will have to decide what they want to do. Missouri voters have decided twice since this has happened, and they don't want to do anything. Or they don't want to do any.
They don't want to pay the taxes, this thing.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't get people to vote a tax on themselves, hardly.
So there you go. So that's the answer to some of these projects that we're talking about here, is there's just no money.
But when we're actively working on some of these projects or in the area, that's the right time to raise the right questions and search for opportunities, because it's inevitably impossible to do it if you don't have a project going on that's going to supplement it with this short fund, all the reasons that you pointed out there. So that's the reason why we're continue to raise the questions.
Okay, everybody's heard enough from me. I'll be the whole minutes next time.
Well, I would add too, having now done this for quite a while, you were asking you all to prioritize needs, and you're probably wondering why do that if there's no funding available. It's been my experience that when the funds become available and the projects are picked, that happens really quickly. And there are a lot of big projects in towns I can think of that were pretty much almost giving up, and all of a sudden the project happened for one reason or another. We have an economic stimulus bill. We did do something at state level. There's all sorts of reasons. So it's important to just have a fresh priority list, because a lot of times we don't have a chance to go out and go through a long discernment process with folks, because we don't have that kind of time. Because once it happens, it can happen pretty quickly. Or we see an opportunity we can go for. That fits a unique project, so it's good to have that up-to-date list. But despite every big project I can think of, it was the people that wanted it didn't think it was happening, and the next day all of a sudden it was.
The second downtown bridge was like that, Frank, when
they
had a $25 million pot that they couldn't do, and we already had the plans, and the county had already committed to doing it. Branson and Hollister had thrown their money in, and next thing you know, we were building a bridge, and none of our money to speak of got tapped. But it was because we had it ready to go.
Yeah, like project in town, raised the size.
So.
The roundabout right here at Forsyth was difficult, but it's in place, it's safer, and it seems to be working very well. So we can, if we stay persistent. He can have it. That's evidence. We've got a good project, a new bridge and a roundabout here to demonstrate.
And I think, and Frank, if you, Frank or Zia heard more about this since last week, let me know. But you know, having something shovel ready is really important because we saw about less, a little less than $50 million was rolled into one of the appropriation bills on the state level to be used as like another statewide cost share pot of funds. But because it's from general revenue, it can be used for county bridges, county roads, city bridges, city roads, whatever. It doesn't have to be just on the state system. So if you have a bridge or something ready to go in your community, or you have an infrastructure that's shovel ready, plans on the table, so just waiting for the other half of your funding, that might be an opportunity. And until we get more detail from the governor's office, we don't know exactly how it's going to be implemented. But because it was in a fiscal year 20 appropriations bill, the expectation is that it would be at least started construction in fiscal year 20. So that's why it's like, if you have something that you've just been waiting on an opportunity, you know, $49 million statewide isn't a ton of money, but, you know, it can go a lot further when communities are covering half the cost of something. But like MoDOT, statewide cost share can only be used on MoDOT facilities versus this, because of general revenue, has more flexibility. So, you know, as soon as we get more information, we will be sending that to our members. But I want to make sure that that's on people's radar, because I'm sure you have several things sitting on the shelf ready to go that you would gladly take half the money for. So I think that's something that this just kind of got thrown in there, but we were all like, oh, what is this? There's this extra like $50 million, and that's on top of the $50 million in general revenue they put towards the bridges. So it's a second pot of money even. So it's kind of a weird thing that just happened randomly, I think, trying to accomplish what the governor had set forth in his State of the State address. But if we weren't ready for it, there would be no one to apply for that. And if the communities that are ready with something are going to benefit more greatly than the communities that are trying to scramble and get something put together. So,
and what's the deadline for?
We don't have any details yet.
Okay.
That's as much as we know, unless you guys know more.
I don't know more.
There's an appropriation, but there's no program.
Yeah.
It's just an appropriation.
It's just an appropriation. So we're kind of waiting for direction from the governor's office on if it'll be through MoDOT.
We're going to know if it's going to be through MoDOT or DED or another agency.
Yeah.
If it's through MoDOT and we get that confirmation, I'm anticipating a call for projects in June.
So quick.
How hard set, though, this may be off subject, Rick, so just stop it. How hard set is the STP funds on what you can use them for?
That's guided by the federal law, but it's pretty flexible on what you can use them for. So you're talking about the allocation of Branson and Hollister?
Yeah, I think
it's the most flexible federal program.
We got like 200 and, I don't know, give or take a little bit, 100,000 in that pot of money. Beth told me I had to have it, set aside for something.
September.
Yeah, by September.
September.
And we've got a box culvert that when MoDOT come around and done our bridge ratings for us, they said, we've got to get that one replaced next year. And so I'm going to have to take it out of the transportation money or something. I got Mayor Akers here to listen to all this, too. So I didn't, but it's not on. It's going into a residential subdivision across to.
Yes, it's flexible in terms of type of project, but not location. It has to be on a higher level road.
Good try.
So that's what I was hoping.
$50 million that they got there. Now, if you had that ready to go, Keith, you could put half of it up.
But I'm trying to find money somewhere to get this box culvert designed and built this next year.
Is that the one that backed up with water there on 76?
Pardon me?
Is that the one that backed up with water recently at Cross Creek and reduced the traffic on 76 for a bit?
No, this is the one down there off of, what's the name of the street? Jupiter Way. It's down there, it goes into Taneycomo Acres. They're off of Fall Creek Road. It's not a very big box culvert. We plan on putting something in similar to what you all just put in over there off Fall Creek. And but anyway, I just tried to find money, and Beth said that wouldn't qualify because it's not on this main arterial route.
But you know, you can use that money as if it's off-system bridge money, which is usually what the counties get. So if it's on the off-system bridge and culvert eligibility list, it might be eligible.
Yeah.
We'd almost need just.
It's not a real big expense. I'm guessing design and construction probably. What'd yours cost you? $150?
No.
But you all put it in yourself, though, didn't you?
We did it ourselves.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The engineering and the material, the box and material was right at $50,000.
Yeah.